Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your Wednesday Night Live, powered by InsideTexas.com. Eric, Nalin, and I are just normal people in normal rooms. Drew and Evan are in their respective voids.
Seriously.
I don't know what you guys got going on.
It's a different yin and yang going on here.
Drew is very well lit. It's intentional. Oh, I like it. Okay. What is your intent, Drew?
To establish
this
as a standard. So that when I do decide to make more of it, it will stand out.
Okay. All right. That's very convincing.
That's like when Paul years ago, he told me, man, you do a really good job of reducing expectations people have of you and then coming way over the top.
It's amazing. Yeah. You know what? It's phenomenal.
I'll be coming off the ropes one day. Just wait on it.
What do you reckon that's going to be coming off the ropes? You thinking like some art from your child's, like a nice Rembrandt. What's going back there?
Undisclosed. I can't disclose.
Fair enough. Right. All right.
Confidentiality agreement.
No, I totally understand. Evan is very much on the other end of this spectrum here. It feels my like you're dwelling. Hiding from something.
He's just sitting there developing film.
Seriously. my new passion. You guys are going to see it next week.
There we go.
It's very good. It's great. Guys, we are 100 days away from kickoff at Ohio State. And I think sometimes, and I know that you were talking about this a little bit on the board today, Eric, about, you know, you did your weekly Q&A trying to, let's be honest, drum up some content. I totally get it. I mean, this is a tricky spot, right? It is a hard time for this. We are just almost waiting for June to happen. But Drew, you said something in the text, which I thought was really interesting. And you said, this is the most important time of year. Can you expand on that? Why did you feel that way?
I mean, so this part of the year, when you get to spring semester ends, you've gone through fall camp in class. You've gone through a full season. You've gone through off season. You've been taking classes. You finally finished that spring semester. It is almost 100% natural. I mean, it's completely natural to feel like I get a breather. I get a break. I get to turn it off. I get to unplug. I get to lose focus. I get to kind of go hang out with friends. I get to go spend time with family. I get to go do a few more things that I wouldn't otherwise do. And this small window, I mean, this starts off as a small window, but it really expands into the rest of the summer. These next few weeks, just as a player, when you're thinking big picture, making sure you keep momentum to go into summer workouts and preparing to show up right in August. There are some guys who get derailed over a few weeks and lose momentum. But also from this period on until August, this is the most important time of the year from a player's perspective. Like from when they're working in the dark, the coaches aren't necessarily right on top of them. They aren't in the exact program. A lot of this is self-driven, self-motivated, self-disciplined. There's just more flexibility. It's a summer schedule. There's all these different things that while guys might not be out getting in trouble, while guys might not be causing, you know, necessarily doing harm to themselves, are they actually grinding? You know, are they actually still eating healthy? Are they still working out? Are they taking care of their bodies? Are they spending time with the right people? Are they in the film room? This is where the margins are. You know, you talk about recruiting. This is where the difference is, I think, between now until August. Regardless of the recruits that come in, that'll be exciting. All that stuff will be great. But behind the scenes, when the work is happening, that is where this is the most important time of year.
Eric, what have you noticed just in your time covering Texas with maybe, and we don't need to get specific with other coaches, but it seems to me that in the short time that Sark has been here, and admittedly, in Sark's defense, there's been a lot of change just in the structure of college football and the expectations, how many coaches we could have. There's been a lot of change in college football since Sark has been here. But what have you noticed about the way that he runs his program that would either give you confidence or reassurance that these guys are locked in or maybe some concern?
Well, like everything else, it starts with the evaluation process. You know, he finds those guys that have that championship mentality. A lot of guys had success. Go back to 2023, 2024 class, tons of state champions comprised in those two classes. Going back to what Drew said, though, it reminds me of during COVID, the coaches were terrified to let the players go. That was the Tom Herman staff, but they were terrified to let the players go home for an extended period of time because they didn't know what was going to come back to them.
Sure.
And they actually had some decent leadership at times on that class and that team, mainly Sam Ehlinger. But not that leadership is nowhere near what it is now. But a lot of it happens with the evaluation. Find guys that want to be great. There's a lot of guys that have different incentives. Want to be great is just, you know, the old school self-starter, but then you got financial incentives as well. Guys are trying to play. With more playing time comes more opportunity to earn money, not just in the NFL anymore, but, you know, right now in the NIL. But I think it all starts with evaluation. They get a lot of the right guys. There's very few guys that seem that we hear about, you know, being lazy. You know, everybody's at least average to above average, and then you got a number of guys that are even above that.
I have to imagine, though, Drew, that, like, as you pointed out, you know, it's not necessarily that they're going out and getting in trouble, but, you know, they may be, I mean, hell, they may get invited to the lake, right? It's stuff like that. Like, that doesn't necessarily seem super impactful. Maybe it's a way for them to relax, but those things add up. What do you do as a player, or what have you seen as a player over that period of time? Do the coaches, do they give the kids a plan? How does it work? How self-motivated is it? Is there a path that they need to be following?
Honestly, yes, there is a path. I do think this staff, Sark in general, is more intentional about not just giving guys a path and a plan, but also teaching them and coaching them to why they need one, why it's important to have discipline and consistency to show up at the same place at the same time to do what you're supposed to do and handle your business. The summers are still supposed to be fun. You know, you're still supposed to hang out with your teammates. You're still supposed to have a good time. But you have to balance out when you choose to do that. You have to balance out how you choose to do that and how hard you're going to go and to what extent. So it's all about having a time for everything. So you have certain days of the week, you're going to have, you got to be on it. Every day of the week, you got to be on it in a certain capacity. But to a certain extent, a lot of it is going to come from following a regimen, whether it's coach imposed or coach motivated or coach driven, or it's just driven by you. There's going to be a certain portion of it that's going to be prescribed or science, if you will, and the rest is going to be art. And when it comes to art, there's different guys who are going to draw their free time a little bit different than others. And you want to make sure they're staying in bounds.
We want to, I want to hear from the darkness and what Evan has to provide for this. But before we do, let's step into the light and maybe a really nice kitchen or bath.
This video is brought to you by Lux Kitchen and Bath. Lux has been offering high-end kitchen and bathroom remodels for three generations throughout the greater Austin area. With five-star review after five-star review on Google and Facebook and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can put your faith in Lux Kitchen and Bath's award-winning designers and skilled craftspeople to bring to life that dream vision of your special home. But that's not all. Lux's all-star team provides full remodels, large additions, and even commercial build-outs as well. So call Lux Kitchen and Bath at 833-358-LUX today. Or visit luxkitchenbath.com to discover where quality meets luxury and begin the process of transforming your home. Get a free quote today by calling 833-358-LUX. That's L-U-X-E. Or by visiting luxkitchenbath.com. Link in the description.
So, Evan, what are you looking to see now that you've been covering this team now? What do you want to see between now and fall ball? I mean, is there a specific area that you're looking into to see what change there might be? What is going on in terms of the team? Maybe a specific position you're looking at?
Yeah, well, we already seen Justice Terry, as Chris Bennett has put in the chat. That was quite the picture of him. But most of it comes to the recruiting side of things, because there's just not so much we can actually know and see with our eyeballs. You know, they're going to do the runs in June in the stadium, and that's where you're going to see these young guys really see what it's like to play at a college program. But I think the big thing is what these June OVs mean for, especially the positions like offensive line, where Texas has maybe fallen a little bit flat, but haven't had maybe as many blue chip recruits as you want in the last two classes. Obviously, there's two big guys, in-state and Ojo, in turn time. But can they maybe secure a recruit from a player of the level of Jermaine Bishop? Is KJ Edwards going to recruit or commit in the summer? I think that's where you want to see the most movement from Texas, is getting as many of these guys in and signed and at least verbally enrolled as you can, because it's going to get really tough when you go into the fall and have to battle against players like, you know, Mark Bowman going to Georgia and seeing all these other schools. So how many commits can they get in the summer is going to be important. And also, how's the conditioning going to look for when they're going to have to go out and play in Ohio State, which obviously it's not going to be the temperature that you're facing in the summer in Austin, but it's going to be a brutal game there, and they're going to have their best foot forward. And I think as long as they're well-conditioned in the summer, which I know Sark's staff is known for doing that, then it's going to be fine. But I want to see that happen for sure. Keep dodging around with all these jokes.
You did a pretty good job there, Evan. I mean, you did a really distracted. Good job. Not – You maintained your composure really, really well. I'm very proud of you. Eric, what is the – recruiting is – this is the time traditionally when we spend a lot of time certainly on the board. And I think obviously just because of, as Drew defined it, that little break maybe in the football official programming, we do spend a lot of time focusing on recruits. What is it that you want to see over the next – 100 days, as it were, or as we approach the fall, are there any positions specifically that you're looking at that really feel like they're going to be a position of need, maybe not necessarily next year, but based on attrition as we move forward, that really need to be focused on?
Well, you know, I love June. June provides a lot of clarity for how the class is going to ultimately end up. And that even holds true even when guys commit to other schools. Last year on June 28th, Josiah Sharma and Myron Charles committed to Oregon and what was it, Florida State, in that order. And I said, yeah, don't worry about this. Texas is going to have a big fall. They've got a plan. They've got a handle of what's going on. You know, we start to see the themes develop. Last year's theme was pretty interesting, which, you know, there's a big difference between getting a money to commit and getting money to sign. Texas had to overcome some guys that got the former rather than the latter.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how they got so many flips last year. But themes develop. We get clarity on the big board, who they're pushing for the hardest, who are they prioritizing the most. That's going to tell us who they want the most. And when Texas really wants somebody, they tend to get them. That's not always, but you know, if there's 10 guys that they truly, truly want, they'll probably get 7 of them. If there's one guy above all the rest that they truly want, they'll probably get them. Last year, that was Justice Terry. Came down to the wire. They had to have him, and they pulled off the upset. They don't always get those guys, but more often than not, they do. They have a long track record of that. As far as individual positions, yeah, you know, offensive tackle is a massive need. You know, last year they got Nick Brooks. I think they hit gold there. The only other guy in that class that I think could end up playing tackle is Jordan Coleman, and he's not even on campus until for another 10 days or so. So we need more clarity at offensive tackle. We need a succession plan, especially with these guys getting out of here in 3 years. Kelvin Banks gone in 3 years. Cam Williams gone in three years. Trevor Goosby's going to be gone in 3 years as well. So they got to keep stockpiling left tackle. That's a huge need. One point of concern is I'm kind of wondering who the wide receiver one is going to be in the class, the guy that kind of stands out, can come in and do things like Ryan Wingo. They need to keep those guys coming because, as we've seen, it takes a little bit of time to learn Sark's offense, get on the same page and reading coverages. It's not the simplest offense for a wide receiver to just come in and start making plays. So you need to have that assembly line coming. Wide receiver one is a bit of a concern of mine at this point. Not a huge concern. Texas always overcomes those concerns. Even when I didn't even get too worried in 2022. They always find a way out of this in this era. So not too concerning, but those are the positions I'd watch the most, mainly on offense.
Moving over to you, Drew, what maybe on the defensive side of the ball, is there a position that you have a little bit of a concern about that you'd like to maybe see some resolution in before we get to the fall?
I mean, linebacker is where we need to find dogs. Like guys we know can come in and be the anthills of the world. If you're talking about recruiting, but that's really where my focus is. I don't have any concern about, because my brain was thinking about recruiting with Eric talking. One thing I want to see us do is, you know, we've been going to the portal for DTs, but I do feel like in the last couple classes, we've been able to get, I mean, Alex January is one, we got Justice Terry, Josiah Sharma, we have guys now that may, for the first time in a while, prevent us from having to go to the portal, just depending on how this offseason goes and how the season goes and going into the next season. At the end of the day, I think how we anchor our defensive tackle position going into next year, next offseason, really lets us know how much capital, if you will, we have to spend in other places, because that has been a place where we've had to anchor our defensive line year after year after year, just to make sure we had the depth. So that's just one place I'm looking, besides just knowing we need some studs at linebacker.
They did a great job of bridging the gap between the young guys and the older guys in the portal, and that's why I'm not concerned. That bridge that they built through the portal, as well as Kenny Baker's big board in this cycle, has me with zero concerns about D-tackle for the future. They'll probably need one really good player going into 2026. But other than that, they're going to have the young guys that pipeline is restocked. You know, the one that Texas inherited with six NFL guys is going to be restocked after this next cycle. And they've got enough out of the portal to where there's going to be a little bit more experience next year than you would expect based on high school recruiting. So they're in a good spot. Linebackers definitely need, because of numbers. You know, they only took one guy last year because Cunningham's really at star right now. Now he'll probably still transition to linebacker. He's probably learning some really good coverage techniques while playing star that are going to translate to linebacker. But numbers there are a little bit lower than you'd like. You've got Brad Spence, who's got 2 years left. Anthony Hill's got 2 years left, but we all know he has 1 year left. Leonga LaFau has 2 years left. Tanthi Smith is the one guy, and Bo Barnes, the other guy, that have you know, 3 years left. But, you know, Leonga LaFau could blow up and leave. Brad Spence could blow up and leave. And it's a position, again, it's one of these complex positions where you need them in the pipeline early so that they're, you know, they're mentally ready when they're needed, as well as physically ready.
We want to, first of all, thank you for being here. We really do appreciate it. We do see some questions coming in, so please go ahead and throw those in. I want to hear from our last sponsor, then we're going to get to some of your questions. I've even got a really absurd one for Eric.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor, and I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a 1 hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
We've got a question coming in from Sydney, Australia, so I think it's only appropriate if you respond in an Australian accent, Eric. Here we go. Eric, any updates on CJ Baxter? I know you hit this on the board today.
Well, that's why he's asking me, because I hit that on the board every day. That's a loyal reader, and he's busting my chops from Sydney, Australia, apparently. Did everybody see that picture of CJ Baxter? If we had a proper host, he would probably have that picture pulling up right now.
You do not have one of those.
No. He looks like a burnout with his hoodie and his hair disheveled.
Dude, I've been up since 2 a.m.
So he's obviously put on a lot of weight, but you know, that kind of happens when guys have lower body injuries, leg injuries, you know, that they're not running as much as normal. They got time. It's easier to do upper body lifts. Christian Clark put on some good weight as well. It's all going to come down to how he moves, you know, and I'm excited about the move to more gap schemes. That's what he ran all in high school. It's going to help him run more aggressively, assertively, but a little bit more size. They're going to be breaking tackles. They need a guy that can run up between the tackles. So, yeah, hopefully he's moving right. If he's moving right in August, you know, my expectations are going to soar for him. But all my expectations right now are going to be based how he runs.
So here's a ridiculous question. How many of the current players in the quarterback room are going to be on campus starting fall ball of next year?
Next year, not this year?
Not this year.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say four.
You really? All right.
I think Arch is going to play 2 years as of now. I mean, obviously, if he's killing everybody with his brain and not just his athletic traits, it's probably going to go to the NFL or his passing traits. But if he's literally winning and audibling at the line of scrimmage and dissecting coverage and getting to his third receiver regularly, you know, evading the rush, keeping his eyes down the field, then yeah, it's going to be a little bit. It's going to be a lot closer because it's all about readiness with them. They want him to come to the NFL and be ready and not have, you know, all these quarterbacks. They tend to struggle. And he's probably going to go to a crappy team other than, you know, the Mannings are going to have some way to magic their way into some sort of a better situation than any other quarterback would be able to. But they want them ready to process. The expectation of that family is not to win college football games, just to win Super Bowls. So they want them ready. If they deem him ready after this season, Sark was a little bit nervous about it at Houston Touchdown Club. Drew was there. Sark was asked in front of the crowd how many years was Arch going to play. And Sark says, I hope he has a really tough decision after his last game. You know, Sark was kind of implying hopefully he wins it this year, and then kind of has the VY paradox where, you know, maybe VY could have come back. Texas would have been the number one favorite by far, but he went to the NFL, and it's understandable why he did. But, you know, he wants Arch to have be conflicted with that decision. But right now I've got him penciled in for 2 years as a starter, and I think that's a good reason why he didn't play half this past year, because that half year would have gone a long way with him, and then this year might have been his last.
Drew, with this, you kind of talked about this a little bit today, and I'm going to transition over a little bit to what's going on in North Carolina, because I think this is a little bit fun, just given the fact that your former gaffer was over there. So who do you have? What is your take on how Mac is handling stepping away from being the head coach over at North Carolina?
Careful, Drew. Mac's watching.
Yeah, he is. This is a big fan.
First of all, I mean, Mac Brown, prior to not being at North Carolina last year, he was only one of three head coaches who had actually won a national championship. So there's a certain level of pride I think he takes in his process and the way he goes about doing his business. And I don't doubt that he knows what it takes to win. What I will say is Mac has been in media before. He is a delightful person to have on your podcast. He's a welcoming person to have in your space on your podcast, doing interviews and just, but he's also an open book, and he's at the point of his career where he just says what he's thinking. He doesn't have to bite his tongue, and there's not much coach speak. So, I mean, his feedback, you know, if you were on Inside Texas today, you know, he gave his feedback on just some of the resources, that UNC, or some of the adjustments UNC is making with the transition. And yeah, I mean, Mac is going to speak his mind. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's true, it's true. If they're lowering academic standards, which actually impacts the recruits you can get, if they're investing more, whether it be in facilities or in NIL, you know, I mean, the truth is the truth. Now, does that mean that they wanted to make that choice to do that with him? They both parted and went their separate ways, as Mac explained. But I mean, at the end of the day, I hope and expect to see Mac back on TV. He's one of the true and few voices that I think just don't really care about the politics of it anymore. And it's really crazy saying that about Mac, because Mac has always felt like a political type voice to a lot of people, but he's going to speak his mind, and especially about UNC. So hopefully we get to see more of him this fall in some capacity, because yeah, his insight on NC is great, but just his insight overall is even better.
I think one of the brilliant things about what he does here is he sets them up for success and puts a ton of pressure on the situation all at the same time, saying the quote here is, they've committed money to it. They've helped him with academics. They've lowered those standards some. So there's absolutely no reason he shouldn't be successful.
UNC doesn't need more attention.
Say what you will about Mac, but the guy, he's a baller.
Before that, he called him probably the best coach of all time. So if you're the best coach of all time, you're certainly going to come in and win here. Mac was good on telecast. So hopefully we find a way for him to call a UNC game this year.
He's
consistent, yeah, man.
Absolute treasure.
Get the girlfriend on with him.
Mac is so consistent. But I mean, it's funny because when you read these clips, or you just read these quotes in a vacuum, it's easy to have fun with them. But when you really look at context, now you can say both parties wanted to go their separate ways. I completely get that. But Mac, it's probably, and others like ourselves, are looking at North Carolina right now, and North Carolina is getting more attention than they've ever gotten.
Sure.
And if Bill Belichick was merely just the only you know, single, non-dating coach that was just focused on ball and at UNC, sure, we probably wouldn't be talking about this right now. There's more emphasis and attention on UNC because of, you know, Coach Belichick's love life. And that combined with Mac is not going to let eyeballs leave UNC as long as he has a microphone. He wants everybody to see how this whole experiment unfolds, which we'll be watching anyway. But he's already given us his thoughts on how he believes it should go, considering he's the best coach ever with all the resources.
I think Urban Meyer did this to Tom Herman.
Yeah.
I think he did. Didn't he? Yeah.
On TV.
Yeah, we've seen this one. Oh, gosh, they sure are good. They've got probably one of the best rosters in all of college football. There's no two about <It's laughs> so they say it's so nice, but they're sticking that knife and twisting it. It's all pretty funny.
Let's go over to the dark side. Evan, what do you think, if you had to say, what is Lincoln Riley's recruiting pitch at this point? I mean, it's a little bit of a – it's a tough row he's got to hoe there. What do we think?
Yeah, like if you're playing college football 25, you got all those little recruiting cells and they're all going down because program tradition. I mean, you're tearing away one of the most integral parts of what makes your culture, your school, and the football culture there important to you. I had the same thing. You know, I told y'all about, I grew up a Michigan fan, and when they got rid of the Notre Dame, I think I actually went to the last Notre Dame game. It felt wrong. That was a rivalry that I always associated with my football fandom. So, you know, if the players don't care as much about the fandom and the tradition of stuff, you get to live in California, and at least QB and wide receiver will probably always be good on the Lincoln Riley team. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. I'm not a fan of this whole let's take down every rivalry that doesn't give me the perfect money dollar. What is that word? The perfect dollar amount that I want. So, I don't know.
The Oklahoma AD, in not so subtle terms, made it sound as if Lincoln Riley did not want to play SEC teams. Right. And if this is the case, now that he's starting to eliminate these types of rivalries, is it fair to say that Lincoln Riley is afraid?
I've always questioned his competitiveness. I mean, the guy wants to win, obviously, but you know, he really drew my ire outside of just being the OU coach and kind of landed on third base like Ryan Day did. Now Ryan Day won it all, of course, props to him for that. But you know, he didn't want to play during COVID when, you know, I don't want to get into all that commentary, but it seemed to me like the safest environment for kids was in the environment basically created on these college campuses. They were tested routinely.
Sure.
They kind of stayed clustered together. They weren't out, you know, carousing and in tight quarters and bars and all that. I mean, it was just made a lot more sense to do it the way that actually played out. He didn't want to play. And then, he tucks tail right as he knows that they're going to the SEC. I felt like he wasn't going to have any advantage. Now, he probably had a good understanding that OU NIL was not going to compare certainly to Texas, but to many others as well. I've always questioned his competitiveness, ability to have a tough environment when everybody was worried about him winning one, when he went on that great streak with the quarterbacks and they were making the semifinals seemingly every year. I said, you know, the next tough team he's going to have will be his first. And, you know, you don't win a national championship without a tough team, even if you're offensive minded. So you got to become a total football coach. I don't think he is a total football coach. Steve Sarkisian, I believe, is a total football coach when it comes to culture. But his selling point is going to be he's got offensive skins and those are going to be enduring. But Rich Rodriguez has offensive skins too. But he's also, you know, he's recycled and made some pretty decent hires, I guess. So you can kind of go on the newness there. You say, oh, this guy's great. He's got a couple of good recruiters that they're going to do their job. But it's a bit of an uphill battle. Now they're in the Big Ten. People are not liking the travel. I got word of a player in the new Big Ten now that's not liking the amount of travel going crisscrossing the country. And that guy's looking to hit the portal after this next season. He wants to boost his profile a little bit more and then, you know, test his luck and not have to do all that jet setting. So I think USC is not nearly as a desirable job as it was, 10 years ago.
Is it the job that's changed? Is it just the fact that Lincoln has made it that way? I mean, could somebody to say that that USC isn't the job that it was almost implies that it's not the brand.
What is he making? I mean, there's enough money in that ecosystem to build a winner. There's no doubt about it. Now, the next head coach might have to take a little bit of a haircut. But if Kenny Dillingham was there, do I think things would be a lot differently? Yeah, I do. I think Kenny Dillingham, despite his age, when I, every time I hear him talk or see him coach, he reminds me of an old school sort of young coach. He's obviously, but he's not, he, to me, he's not like this Gen Z sort of cat. Like, I cannot believe Lincoln Riley's from Muleshoe, Texas. If you've ever driven through Muleshoe, Texas, you might be the last coach that you would pick to be from there. But yeah, Kenny Dillingham at USC, a little bit more organization, that would be, you know, probably have USC back to its winning ways. I just, you know, I've just been down on Lincoln Riley even when he was up.
That's completely fair. Again, let's go over to Evan here. What are we, how are you feeling about the DBs going into this? And it's a little bit of a broad question. And for these types of things, Calvin, obviously, please check us out at InsideTexas.com. This is the type of stuff that is being covered constantly. But we'll throw it over to you, Evan. Where do you land on this?
I think my only concerns I really have with the defense in total is this kind of tweener thing going on where it's, are you in between positions or do you have a position? And, you know, Trey Moore, that one seems like he may end up being more of an edge rusher because how good Spence has been. But, like, is Jalen Gilbo the CB2? Like, are we going to be able to see him and confirm pretty early in the summer that, hey, he's ready to be the other guy up across from Muhammad? Because like Eric's been talking about on the board all the time, you'd want the five to be Taff, Williams, McDonald, Gilbo, and Muhammad. But if Gilbo has to play star, then that maybe takes away reps from Williams because then McDonald has to play safety, and then you're putting out a second-year player like Black or Roberson, who's maybe one of them plays better in the summer. But I just need to be able to see that Jalen Gilbo is actually ready to play that CB2, and you know, you're going to have to face off against Carnell Tate a lot, or do the bracket with Jeremiah Smith that they did with Muhammad a little bit more in the Cotton Bowl. But like, you're facing a first round or second round wide receiver week one, so he has to be ready.
Where do you land on this one? This has not necessarily been a position group that we've always felt that this position group is very talented. That was never the issue. But as what we were talking about earlier and going to this, Eric, you were saying that they do have depth, but not necessarily depth and experience.
Yeah.
Where do you land on this?
Yeah, I wonder a little bit about the ball hawking back there. Loosen Barron, sticky fingers. Makuba, sticky fingers. Great coverage ability. Yeah, that's a little bit of a concern. We could see a drop-off, though the expectation is that better pass rush will lead to even more increased turnover opportunities. Evan hit it. You know, is Jalen Gilbo going to take control of that position? He didn't do that in the spring. But, you know, he's transitioning back to that. Not only that, but also new coaching. When new coaching comes, new philosophies, principles, techniques. So there was a little bit of an adjustment period for him, both switching positions and coaching. August is going to be big because Kobe Black doesn't want to sit on the bench. Kobe Black will see my article where I said 2026 is going to be his year, tear it up and probably work on his back pedal some more. Warren Roberson wants to play. So there's a lot of competition there. That's my ultimate confidence builder, is that all that competition is going to make whoever comes out of it a good player. And then you're going to have established depth. Overall, I'm not worried about the secondary. I love the safeties. I think we're going to hear a lot more about dime packages in August. And that might include Jonah Williams. The young safety sound promising as well. Xavier Filsimi, Jordan Johnson, Rebel, they're developing. So I like the depth. Maybe there's that one question at corner, but I mean, we're getting real picky if that's the biggest problem.
How are your feelings on this, Drew? This is obviously a position you played or a group you played in.
I felt like our DBs will be, regardless of the talent, let's just, before we even get to the talent, it'll be as good as our defensive line and as our pass rush is.
Do you attribute that to Akina? What are you attributing that to?
I attribute that to having a pass rush. If you look back at Texas football, regardless of who was at DB when Sark first got here, we could not get a pass rush. When we were starting players who would not be on the roster right now, that is a huge difference. We've been able to stop the run and get on predictable passing downs and not do anything. We were at that point at one point. We're not there anymore. All of that is connected. It truly is. It truly is all connected. So just that conceptually is something I want to point out, that I think we have a pass rush that is going to offset or really supplement and support everything that DBs need to do, whether they have a shorter clock to deal with because, you know, the quarterbacks have to get the ball out. There's so many different things from a schematic standpoint and a pass rush standpoint we can do to support DBs. So it's hard for me to just point out the DBs in general without just realizing how many resources these guys have around them versus when Texas first got to this point. Said all that to say, Michael Taft, baby.
Yeah.
Michael Taft. Like, if you go back and watch, go back and watch some old games, highlights. If you don't want to watch the full film, go watch some film from last year. Go watch who's coming back. Go watch Derek Williams before he got hurt. Go watch Jelani McDonald make progress and just continue to grow over last year. Go watch Jalen Gilbo be physical. Go watch him stick his head in. Go watch Michael Taft be a leader, be a playmaker, a ball hawk. All this stuff is infectious. You got to surround yourself with guys. If you can't surround yourself with them, you got to have those types of guys around you. So, I mean, if there's anyone I'm expecting more out of this year, it's guys like Manny Muhammad. You know, the guys we're ready to see make plays on the ball. You know, he's been a solid player, but now it's now can you go make those plays and max out the opportunities that your defensive line is going to grant you? I mean, that's just what it comes down to. So the talent is there. I don't think we're talking about talent anymore. I think all of these different parts and factors work together. And so I'm anxious to see how it all falls, but having guys cross-training and having guys kind of work their way into different positions, it's all going to – the front of the defense and the back are going to work together. And, yeah, well, I think we have the guys to make it happen, especially Drew, with the leadership we have.
Drew sparked a memory from spring. I don't even know if I ever wrote it. This one was deep, buried deep. But apparently the cornerbacks felt comfortable being a lot more aggressive and jumping passes because of the amount of trust they had in the safeties behind them. And I think that a lot of that has to do with Michael Taft. And, you know, when Michael Taft came back, we mentioned how big it was. And then, you know, when both defensive back coaches left, it became even bigger. It's just a huge story. We kind of glossed over it, I think, because everybody thought, everybody knows he's so bought into being a Longhorn. They just expected him to be back. It wasn't that simple. But you know, it's a huge part, but yeah, we're going to see more aggressive DB play. Not only is it because of the pressure they're going to get in front of them, but also the trust they have in the safeties behind them.
It is, it's a fun time of year. We thank you guys for being here. Please join us at InsideTexas.com. It's a really great community. Your subscription, each bit of your subscription, certainly the proceeds of that will help to go pay for Evan's electric bill, which is really important to us. We'd like to actually see him on camera as we move forward. You can read his work, read commentary from Drew and from Eric, and we look forward to seeing you again. Thanks so much for being here.